also say good evening to you, and I'd like to greet each of you tonight in Jesus' worthy name. It's a blessing to be with you this evening. I think it's the first time we have been here, this congregation, and we look forward to, I guess, being here and meeting you. I know a few of your faces and a few of you personally, and I trust that we can learn to know you a little better as we go through the evening. We've already been inspired in the opening. We are definitely blessed by all that Christ has done for us, and it's a blessing to have a real relationship, a relationship that is real and alive, and one that we can rely on as we go through our lives. And I believe the subject tonight will also bring out that fact of the life that is in Christ and what we can experience. There is a question that we frequently ask each other, and it is a good question. It's something we often ask when we meet each other, and I'm not faulting the question. I actually am encouraging this question, especially if you ask it honestly. And the question is simply, how are you today? That's a good question to ask, and it's one we often ask somebody that we know after we made their acquaintance. We know who they are. We meet them. We say, how are you today? I'd like for you to consider a similar question that is maybe more in line with the topic tonight that was assigned me. And that is the question, how is life going for you? Recently, my wife and I were sitting in a training class, and the instructor asked us, how busy is your life? And then she had each of us in the room, and she went around to each of us individuals, and she had us classify our life. How busy are you? Is it really busy? Is it not very busy? Is it kind of in between, somewhat busy? How do you find it for yourself? How is your life? How would you classify your life? I had a middle-aged husband and wife in my shop here a few weeks back, and we were sitting there discussing their projects, and just out of the blue, the husband said to the wife, it's like, why is it so peaceful here? And the question kind of caught me off guard. And he was asking her, and when I listened to the further discussion, of course, in my mind, I was thinking, if you only knew. In my mind, I right away started thinking schedules. I started thinking busyness, commitments, deadlines, all the different activities that go on in our lives. Well, from their discussion, they were comparing city life with rural life. And the point I'm trying to make with that thought is our perspective on life might vary. We all relate to life a little bit different. We all face life differently. And we all have different things in life to face. One person might be feeling peace, and the other person might be feeling stress, or maybe they're feeling burdened down. And at that moment, obviously, my customer was feeling just a little, some of the peace, while I was thinking of what this is going to do to our work schedule, how we're going to fit this all in, where it's all going to go from here. And it can be our perspective on life. Have you ever wondered, must life always have burdens to bear? Can we not be free? Is there no other option in life? other than bearing burdens, dealing with hard times? We tend to, and again, this is my perspective on life, but we tend to think of burdens as cumbersome, troublesome, and I think that's right. I think most of us would probably agree with that, that burdens can be cumbersome and troublesome. I think God has created our bodies in such a way that we feel better with less tension in our lives rather than high level of tensions. And again, that varies with individuals. Some people can function with high tension, others can handle little tension. Maybe this is something that you're not bothered with. I would like to say, if you're not bothered with burdens, I do believe that you're probably in the minority, because when I open up my Bible and I look at all that it says about burdens, I find that there is a lot of information in our Word about dealing with life's burdens. So I believe that would tend to be the norm. And if you find yourself just not bothered, then God bless you and continue in that way. Now, I would like to say in the onstart, I don't think it should be our norm that we're always burdened down. But we need to deal with, and we have a remedy tonight for dealing with burdens, and that's what we're looking at in Matthew. And I invite you to turn there. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 was a text that was given to me. Title is, My Yoke is Easy and My Burden is Light. I would like to read these few verses, and then we would like to look at them and see what we can glean from them. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, very familiar verses. They read like this, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's start by looking at the context of these words. As you look at these words in the scripture here in the book of Matthew, I think it does us good to look at the context or what is happening here. Now, it's interesting to note that Matthew is the only one that writes these words. Come on to me. We have the prior verses. We have those listed. I think Luke might refer to them. But these words are special to Matthew. And now if you look closely at who is Jesus addressing? Well, the beginning, it doesn't really give a group of people. It's not like he's addressing the Pharisees or he's addressing the Jews or he's addressing his disciples. The prior verses, 25 to 27, it says, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven. As he's having a little prayer with his Father. We know that there was a group of people around that were with him at this time. But it doesn't really give us an audience, a specific audience of who he was addressing. And I find that also very special. Now, the people who were listening, they obviously could relate to this very well. They knew what a yoke was. They knew what burdens were. That's two big things we find in here. They were very familiar with the burden, and especially the religious burdens, if I may call them that, that the religious leaders had placed on them. From what I gather from reading Bible scholars, the religious leaders had added 600 regulations regarding working on the Sabbath to the law. So they knew they were burdened down with all these other 600 things that they were required to do in relation to just working on the Sabbath. That was only one point of the law. These people knew what a burden was. But it does not appear like Jesus was just talking specifically to them. And the point I'm trying to make tonight with the context of these words are, they're free words, not really tied into anybody special other than all the believers of Christ. Tonight, these words are for us tonight as believers of Christ. I believe that Jesus gave these words tonight for us. Let's look in a little deeper now at these words and see what we can learn from them. As I said before, the main idea in these verses are tied around the idea of a yoke and a burden. Now, I'm assuming we're somewhat in a rural community here. I'm assuming there's probably some farmers among us, or I'm assuming you are all familiar with farm activities. And if you would have been a farmer and owned the hillside where Jesus was sitting to teach the people, and if you went to plow your field, or if you went to haul some stones for building your house, or if you loaded your wagon to go to market, take your harvest to market, and if you wanted to, if I may use the term, double your ox power, or you needed two ox instead of one to pull your load, you would have used an item commonly referred to as a yoke. And like I said, it was a very familiar piece of machinery in Jesus' day. And we know it's still used some in different cultures, different countries. Probably not so common with us today, but I think we all know what a yoke was. It's the literal meaning, it's a piece of wood that is carved, and it was carefully carved to the shape of the animals' necks that were going to wear this yoke. And there was a reason for that. It was to be as comfortable as possible and to make bearing the load as easy as possible. So the literal meaning of yoke, obviously, is the wooden beam carved to fit the necks of the ox or the cattle that were in the team. The figurative meaning, as we look through the scripture, as we read the Bible, we will find some other meanings of yokes that are referred to in scripture. The figurative meaning, which would be a type of the yoke, is it can mean either submission or service, or it can mean slavery, oppression, punishment, heavy responsibility, or hardship. So we got a positive or a negative. And then there is also a spiritual meaning for yoke, and that is referred to down in Galatians, and we'll get to that here in just a minute, but that refers to yoke as sin. There are a few what I'm calling yoke pictures in the Bible, and I would like to just refer to a couple of these. I'll just read a couple verses, and they talk about the yoke. Now, they don't talk about the literal meaning of yoke, but they do refer to some of the figurative meanings of yoke. In Deuteronomy 28:48, God is giving a warning to the people of Israel that of what would happen to them if they disobey. The verse reads, "Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee." Now, if you caught in that verse, it referred to a yoke of iron. Earlier on, I said that the literal meaning of yoke was a beam that was carved to fit the neck of the cattle or ox who were wearing the yoke. But this refers to a yoke of iron, and if I have it right, Sometimes slaves or captives were fitted with a yoke of iron. It was not fitted to their neck. It was very ill-fitting. And it was done that way on purpose. It was done so it would not feel good. It would be a strain to them, and it would actually break them down physically. It was definitely a type of bondage, enslavement, and often it drove them so low as to death. Can't we see the type of sin in that yoke? What the yoke of sin will do to us? Isaiah 10:27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off from, shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now this is a prophetic verse, and I'm not going to go into the prophecy part of it, but what we see in this verse is the release. When the yoke is taken off, and there's freedom from that yoke, the hindrances, the restraints, they're gone. They're away from our lives. It's definitely a verse of freedom. There's another verse in Lamentations, one again that we're more familiar with, 3:27, and it says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Now, what might that yoke be referring to? We know it's not sin, because we know the scripture would not say that it is good for a man that he bear the yoke of sin in his youth. But it is saying that it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He needs to learn something in his youth that is beneficial for life. My conclusion is that the yoke is referring to the responsibilities, the happenings, maybe even the chastisement of God, the sense of God's divine control. This is all part of a yoke that we might label as life. And it is good that we learn to bear this when we are young. In other words, when we are in the ultimate time of our strength. That's a good time to learn to handle the burdens of life. Another thing I see in this verse is that the yoke is a individual yoke. We often think of a team surrounding a yoke, and that is correct, and we will get to that. But yet the responsibility of that yoke is personal. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Sorry. So you think of your life, and you start to reduce your life down to the lowest denominator, and who is left? In other words, you take away your friends, you take away the preachers, you take away the peers, you take away the siblings, you take away teachers, you take away spouses. It all comes down to you personally. It's a blessing to have everybody else to help us, but yet we face life as individuals. Tonight, it's our responsibility what we're going to do with this yoke and how we're going to face life with the burdens of life. And tonight, I praise God that we do not have to face life alone. And the one other yoke that I referred to that is found in the New Testament is in Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This may have been referring to the Old Testament law, but yet I feel tonight for us as believers, this is probably referring more to our old life. And this would be the yoke of sin. It is telling us that we should not go back to our previous life. We should be free in Christ, be free of the yoke of sin. I would like to look at just briefly, having discussed the idea of the yoke, let's just summarize some of the things that we see about the yoke. And these are general observations. And as you think of a team working together, I think these observations can be something that we can relate to. A yoke may help us forward, or it may hold us back. A yoke may help us accomplish twice our capabilities, or it may hinder us from accomplishing what we wish. And there's a couple different things you can relate to that. Think of a work team. There's different teams that we are related to. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked talks about the unequal yoke and how that is detrimental to us. A yoke may lighten our load or it may weigh us down. A yoke may help us learn important lessons or it might destroy our life. With the yoke, only one can be the leader, and that's implying that one will be stronger and one will be weaker. And we know as individuals, there are stronger forces out there. And the question is, what are we yoked to? Who's in the team with us? The whole idea of yoke obviously still implies burdens. And we've talked quite a bit about the yoke that we bear. But yet this yoke is only a piece of machinery, and it is linked to the burdens that we bear. So before we look at how we can experience being yoked with Jesus, I think we need to identify some of the burdens that we do bear. And I trust that you can relate, or maybe that you're free from these burdens, but yet I feel that I can about assume that there's some of these burdens you can probably relate to. The first one I'm sure you can, and that is the burden of sin. That is one burden that we all need to deal with, is the burden of sin. Sin is actually the reason for burdens. I believe that's scriptural, that because of sin we have burdens. Burdens began with sin. But yet, in turn, sin is the burden that we need to free ourselves from. And this burden, I believe, is kind of the core issue of all other burdens. We need to deal with that burden. And if we don't deal with that burden, it's pretty sure that we will not be able to deal with any other burdens that we face. A couple other burdens. The temptation to sin. It's something we live with from day to day. The effects of sin. The effects of sin can be the lingering consequences of a previous life of sin. They can be moral issues, they can be broken homes, they can be addictions, they can be crippling habits. All things that we were involved with, we've been freed from the burden of sin, but yet it can be something that lingers on in our lives. There is a way to deal with this. And then also the difficulties of life can become a burden to us. Those things that God allows that we may think that we do not deserve. And these can become very real to us. And they can be pain, disease, infirmity, handicap, accidents, death, all the difficult times in life. And I don't know each of you tonight personally, but if you are facing one of these times, may God give you grace. We know that it can be a very hard time emotionally. It can be very taxing. And it is something that is very difficult to deal with, but again, we will look shortly at how being yoked with Jesus can make this brighter and make the load lighter. And another burden that we sometimes face is the demands of life. And I'm not sure what all we would label as a burden. It probably depends on our makeup, who we are, what we're facing. I'm sure this burden would be unique to each of us. It can be finding a job, it can be making a living, it can be raising a family, it can be coping with peer pressure, it can be keeping peace in relationships. If we're not careful, these things can burden us down. Again, there is hope in Christ. I would like you to remember tonight that a yoke is made for two. And Jesus invites, take my yoke, I will bear with you. Let's look at a little bit yet at the experience of being yoked with Jesus. I have jotted down a few things that I feel are included with the blessing and the experience of being yoked with Jesus. I would like to clarify, when we talk about a yoke and being yoked with Jesus, the picture I have in my mind, and I trust that each of you do tonight, is that the yoke includes us and Jesus is right there beside us. It is not the picture of us in a yoke and Jesus as the master or the farmer that is driving the team. Jesus is with us in that team, in that yoke. He is there with us. Number one, Jesus' yoke is a yoke of choice. That puts a lot of responsibility on us. We can choose whether we're going to be in that team with Jesus. Notice the words here in Matthew. It says, come unto me. That's an invitation, but it's also a choice. It's up to us if we want to come. Obviously, his number one concern is that we are freed from the bondage of sin and the burden that sin brings into our lives. But tonight, his invitation is to come. It's not slavery. It's not restraint. It's not bondage. And I fear tonight that many Christians are living their life as if they're restrained. They would like to be doing this, but they really can't because church says they can't. They would like to go here, they would like to have this, they would like to do that, but they can't. But Jesus says, come. There's a choice that we need to make to experience Jesus' yoke. The other choice I see, it's alluded to here, it does not say this word, but it says give. He says, give me your burden. Not only does he say, come to me, but he says, I'll take your burden. Give me your burden. Two choices that we need to make. We need to make the choice to come to Jesus, and we also need to make choice to hand over our burden to Christ. And we think, well, that should be pretty easy. But sometimes, at least in my own life, I find it hard to let go of some of those things. We feel that we can control a little better if we're hanging on to them. But we need to turn over the situations to Christ and see and say, here, you handle it. Let's accept Jesus' invitation to come and let's give him our burdens. Second thing I see as we experience Jesus' yoke is it's available to all. Jesus was not, and I mentioned this in the beginning, but I think we need to highlight it. This invitation of Jesus is available to everyone. It was not just to the Jews. It was not just to certain people in Jesus' day. But tonight, Jesus' yoke and his invitation to come, free yourself from your burdens, from your load that you are carrying. Jesus is saying to everyone, this is for you. I am here tonight to help you with your burdens. Just give them to me. The third one I see is Jesus' yoke brings rest. That is something that a lot of people are looking for tonight. In with rest, we see the idea of peace. And when you look at the turmoil of burdens, and then you contrast it with the idea of rest and peace, which one is more attractive to us as individuals? Don't we desire the rest and the peace? And tonight, that is found through Jesus and by accepting his yoke. A good illustration of this is also in when Jesus was with his disciples on the water and the boat, and the storm came up. Jesus was with the disciples, but it was only when the disciples called out to him and said, "Help us," that Jesus was able to give them rest and peace. And the same is in our burdens with Jesus. We can experience rest and peace when we call out to Jesus. Second Corinthians 4:16. I would like to also refer to those verses, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We find our rest in Jesus by being yoked with Jesus. Number four, by being yoked with Jesus, we learn the habits of Jesus. Habits might not be the best word to use in this phrase, but I think it does bring something out, especially when you think of a team being yoked together. And I'm not very familiar with working with teams, but I am told that they often put an inexperienced animal with an experienced animal, and there was a reason for that. The inexperienced animal was to learn from the experienced one, and especially the habits. There was some teaching going on in that team. And I'm sure you can make the application as you think of being teamed together with Christ. We learn the habits of Jesus. And especially when we think of dealing with our burdens in life, we need to acknowledge that in our nature, when our bodies come under tension, we sometimes respond in the wrong way. At least that's the way it is for me. But we learn from Jesus how to cope. And I'm tying this in with the next one, which is very closely related. It is, we learn the nature of Jesus. By being yoked with Jesus, we learn the nature of Jesus. We not only learn how Jesus would do things, you know, how he would respond, but we also learn why he would respond, and we develop in us the mind of Christ, the nature of Jesus. What works better, the response of meekness or the response of anger? What resolves turmoil? Rebellion or submission? The one is our nature. The one is Christ's nature. When we're yoked with Christ, we learn his habits and his nature. He teaches us how to respond when we are with him. Number six, Jesus' yoke bears our burden. Not removes our burden. Jesus' yoke bears our burden, not removes our burden. Now remember, there is one burden that he does remove, and that is the burden of sin. We can be freed from the burden of sin. Although we know that the temptation is still there to sin, But yet as we go through life, when we face all that life brings us, Jesus doesn't remove all those things. We know from experience that bad things do happen. We wonder why. But as I said in the beginning, burdens, I believe, are the result of sin. But yet we're not left there to cope by ourselves. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is there to help us, and Jesus will bear our burdens. He's in the yoke with us. So what is happening? He is taking the load on his shoulders and taking it off of our shoulders. We need Jesus' help with the burdens of life. We accept his help, we can accept his conditions, and he will be with us to bear our burdens. He does make them lighter. The last one is, with Jesus, our burden becomes easy and light. This one may almost seem cruel sometimes to say this, that our burdens become easy and light. If your life is like my life, sometimes we seem like we're at the end of our tolerance level. This is all that we can handle. We are at our max level. But just imagine what it would be like if you would not have Jesus in your life. Where would you be as you face the struggles of life? You take your neighbor down the road who does not know life with Christ. He is facing it by himself. Where does he go? Where can he go when things get hard? Doesn't Jesus make our burdens easier and lighter to bear? There are different ways that he does this. Sometimes he uses our brother or our sister to help us. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Sometimes Jesus bears our burdens by having others help us. Sometimes he takes the weight on his own shoulders. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Sometimes he admonishes us to grow in faith. He told Peter, he said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And sometimes he lightens our burden and makes it easier to bear by giving us the promise of relief and reward. Revelations 21:7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Tonight, Jesus makes our burden easier, and he makes it lighter. Have you found relief tonight from your burdens by letting Jesus bear your load? Number one, have you dealt with the burden of sin? Are you burdened down with the cares of life? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Remember, a yoke is made for two. Jesus invites, "Take my yoke, I will bear with you." Let's give our burdens to Christ.